Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded, the disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it, cause we wrote it. The north, south, the east coast, it's the GB knocking, we keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt, they throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB, don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits. It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys.
Reloaded.
Reloaded with another episode of information and instructions to help you get through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Dr. Donish Ali. Boombayah. Ali. Boombayah.
I would not let him call me Ali. Boombayah. Boombayah. Not after he just said ding, ding, fries and shake.
I don't. No, tell me that.
You never heard that?
No, where's that from? Is that before my age?
Damn, yeah, that's when was Ali was fighting in
Zaire.
Zaire.
That was the Republic of China. Zaire.
Yeah, he was
fighting. And he was fighting George Foreman.
Okay.
It was the rumble in the jungle.
Ali, Boombayah. Ali. Yeah, they call it Ali beat George Foreman ass.
Yeah. They call it the Democratic Republic of Congo now.
Yeah. Pretty dope.
That's the best to ever come by, man. Yeah. I mean, I
saw
some of
them. Ali. Boombayah.
No, I don't.
You
know what I mean? No, what's that mean?
Ali Killam.
Ali Killam. Okay.
Yeah. Damn.
And Bandu.
Oh.
And then someone was saying George Foreman Boombayah too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George had his fans out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie yet, Willie?
Where
everybody performed and shit. They had the spinners over there and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah,
that.
I had it. It was dope.
But I didn't hear anybody saying George Foreman.
They did. And I watched it 100,000 times.
What are they saying? Foreman, Boombayah?
Foreman, Boombayah.
Okay.
Foreman, Boombayah. And then follow George Foreman around. Man. Yeah.
Boombayah.
Boombayah. All right. Maybe I should add that to my title, you know?
You should.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
especially if you're knocking motherfuckers out, Doc. Yeah.
But I don't know. Hey. But then again, I don't know, man. You know, Doctor killing people, man.
Kill him, Doc.
Hey, man. It's tough right now in society and where we're at right now with all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I should not be using that slogan because, you know, people may not take that the right way, you know?
Yeah, let me ask you a question, Doc.
Like with
the new variant of COVID going on right now,
how
safe is it for an individual to take that shot?
It's very safe, man.
It is.
And the reason why I say that is because all the data shows these vaccines work against the Delta variant as well, right?
Well, that's Willie.
I hear.
Okay.
But you know that's been... Go ahead and finish.
Yeah,
Doc.
So what they've done is they've looked at the data behind the actual virus itself, and they've seen the protein, the Delta variant, and it's shown that the vaccine itself does protect against that because the markers that are in that vaccine will help protect you from the variant. So variants are mutations, right? The flu mutates every year, right?
Yeah.
That's why we get the flu shot every freaking year, right?
Stuff.
It's a new stuff, right? This vaccine, this virus mutates, it changes itself. Now, that's what it's going to keep on doing.
Is it man-made?
It's not man-made, no. This is shit that we have seen before, and we've seen this with the swine flu.
Yeah.
This is a mutation of the swine flu, believe it or not. This happened in 2008 in China and affected a lot of these Asian countries.
Thankfully, does it always show up there first, Doc?
They got a lot of people, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we close behind them?
We are.
With
we really are. We got a lot of people. We got a lot of people that don't believe in science, and they think it's, you know, there is a political game. I'm not going to say that it's not, but, you know, they still don't listen to the science, and that's my big problem.
Is it that they don't believe in science,
or all the
they just don't trust? They just don't trust science.
It's both,
scientists.
Willie. It's both, man. I mean, they'll look at a data. They'll look at real life people, and they said, oh, we don't trust this, nor do we believe it. Their own friends, they say, oh, something else happened to them, or, well, this was meant to happen, or they were meant to die anyways. You know,
I had a
dude I was talking to that was just a buddy of mine, and he was telling me that, listen, man, I mean, we all got to die. It's this natural stuff that happens, and this is a part of its natural course, you know? And so, yeah. So,
man, if I can avoid dying, bro, I'm going to do everything that I can.
Right. Yeah. And but there's not everybody that believes like that, Brad. I mean, I tell you, people think that, hey, I mean, I got this going on. I got this. I'm sick this way. I got to die anyway. So might as well let this thing take my life.
Doc, why is it that we are not together on this? I see this is a plague, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
This is a plague, man. And it's getting ready to shut the United States down yet again.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to put a dent in the economy yet again. But people still refuse to do what it takes to keep the spread of this virus disease /
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Like, think of it like this. Put a mask on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take the vaccine. I don't know what's in it. They just put it out there. No, they didn't just put this out here. They've been working on this shit for years and years and years and years and years.
Correct.
I did my research on it too, Willie.
2008. 2008 is when that swine flu happened. This is a mutation.
Don't like me, man.
Some people refuse the science. Some people refuse the science. And that's my big problem is when people don't look at the data, they think that this shit is made up. It's not.
You know the funniest shit in the world, Doc? Not to cut you off, man, but Willie called me one night. And he said, man, I think I might got the coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, shit. I said, how you feel, man? You lost your taste, you lost your smell, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm going to call you back. I'm going to go to the doctor in the morning.
Uh-huh.
All right. So I call and check on him because I'm worried about it. Because Willie's my friend.
Right.
But I'm not Willie's friend. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
That makes sense.
It does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. It's clear.
I don't fuck with you.
Hey, just like I asked Willie, how's your car doing?
So I checked on Willie, man, and then, you know, Willie's always been cocky. And I asked him how he was, man. I said, yeah, I'm good, man. I ain't got no swine flu, man. Gotta call you back. Hung up on me. So that was the end of that story, man. But
yeah.
Yeah. I want to get Willie to the point where he believes that the shot didn't just come up last night and Trump didn't have nothing to do with the vaccine.
Right.
Yeah. He had nothing to do with the vaccine.
No, no.
So he'll stand out in the front of this shit and act like he had something to do. He did not, Willie. Take the shot, Will. Let me tell you, three people I know this week died. Two from the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy of mine's mom passed away. She was vaccinated twice, but she was an older lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed from the COVID. And then we had a young cat that passed. He couldn't have been no more than 30 and 33 years old, man.
Yeah. He wasn't vaccinated.
I don't know. I don't even want to ask. I don't even want to know.
You know, I'll tell you, some of these younger folks that are dying, it's because they're immunocompromised, right? How are they immunocompromised? It's because they take steroids, that they take pills like testosterone. They'll take HGH, some of that stuff that will
Viagra.
Make you... Viagra.
Well, they're also drinking and doing drugs.
Right, that too. Yeah. But the immunocompromised are the folks that get affected because their immune system can't fight this virus, right? You and I mean, if we're otherwise healthy, a lot of times we're going to be asymptomatic. We may not show any symptoms.
Me, bro.
It crushed you?
Oh, it fucked me up. I lost kidneys. I had 1,850 cc's of fluid in the sack of my heart.
Yeah.
So my heart collapsed on one side.
Yep, didn't work. Then
I had to go to the precardial effusion here.
Yep, they did a fusion.
That shit hurt so bad.
Yep. You had a thoracentesis done, huh? They had to drain that stuff out.
Yeah. You don't want to even see it. It hurts so bad, Doc. But let me tell you this. You guys have medicine that can fucking fix anything, bro.
Yeah.
Man, they gave me, what's it called? The lidocaine? The lidocaine?
Dilaudid is for pain. Yeah. That made you calm down, everything.
That shit set me off like a subway was going through my head.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I got a friend of mine to record me when I got high.
Yeah.
So the nurse came in, hit me, and then I was sitting there and shit and everything was cool, and all of a sudden...
It hit.
The subway came through.
Yeah.
And Doc, that right there... It's the most amazing feeling I've ever had, so I know for a fact I don't want to try heroin.
Right, yeah.
No.
Yeah, because that's what it'll make you do.
Yeah.
You'll get that high. You'll feel like you're on top of the world. That's the way people describe it, and that's why we're in such a big opioid epidemic. You know, I mean, these pain pills, these people mixing fentanyl in with it, and people dying
from it. Tell me about fentanyl, too.
It's a synthetic. It's really? A synthetic drug okay. that somebody made. And now what's happening is that in order to help folks get a high, people are putting these synthetic fentanyl Ooh. Into these drugs to help them get that high. The problem is we don't know how much fentanyl is in there, and some people may not be able to tolerate that. Right.
Ooh, that is
That's bad. Why we're seeing such a big increase in these numbers of deaths in these otherwise healthy folks, you know, that do drugs, is because this shit is laced with fentanyl.
Boy. Doc, what are your thoughts? Do you have any rancor towards
rancor.
Google doctors? You know, like we're in an age where information is readily available.
Yeah.
Anybody can jump on the internet and research an illness, a symptom of whatever, right? How do you balance the information that they receive, your patient receive from the internet versus the information that you give them?
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to your point, that question that you just asked earlier, which was, why are more people not getting vaccinated? It's because of the misinformation. It's this Dr. Google, right? Dr. Google giving misinformation. Anybody can go on the internet and put
and type some stuff
in, create a blog, post it, and some people may run with it. Some people may make it a meme or whatever they may do, and that's the misinformation that travels.
I was watching the news today, and it came up something that they put in horses and cows and shit. What's it called? Some kind of stuff that stops horses from getting coronavirus, right? So with that said, like, why in the hell would you put horse, if you're not a horse or a cow, why would you shoot this shit in you, for one? And then why don't you get the one that's just designed for you?
Exactly.
It don't make no sense.
It makes
sense. People are having sex with horses and cows.
Goddamn.
We always got to go there.
I mean, every time, bro, we cannot have a...
you asked the question. I think that was a reasonable response that I gave. I mean,
I'm not.
Yeah.
There's Come some on, sick people in this world.
Right? Willie's sick.
Anyway, Doc.
So, yeah, we got a problem with the misinformation. We got a problem with people thinking that they can type whatever they want to and share that. And our problem is we take that information, right? And a lot of times, I'm going to say as much as probably 99% of the time, that information is not coming from doctors. Right. It's not coming from scientists. It's not coming from specialists in that field of whatever they're talking about.
Wow.
It's somebody who has some experience in some fashion and decides to post about it, and we take that and we run with it.
Wow. So you're saying that just because somebody has a PhD, that don't make them a doctor?
That's not what I'm saying, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying
is... they have to be a medical doctor.
They have to be a medical person. Right. They have to have some sort of... No, I've got some researchers that are PhDs. They're scientists in that field, right? Okay. They can't be a PhD in music and telling me about science. That's what I'm talking about. Sure. You can be a PhD in architecture, in engineering, in music, whatever you want to be in, but don't go telling medical information, you know, unless you're not an expert in that.
Well, what about Nurse Jimmy?
We were just watching that clip earlier.
Was talking all of this stuff about the vaccine, and I mean, Nurse Jimmy, I mean, he works with COVID patients daily, you know, and...
The question I would ask him is, how well-versed is he? Number one, did he go to a medical school? Did he get a PhD? Did he have a diplomat? Is he somebody who's certified to talk about this, right? Whoa. Just because I, as a nurse or somebody, has some sort of experience, it's like me talking about the weather outside. Hey, the weather's cloudy. It's going to rain tomorrow. I ain't got a degree in it, right? I ain't got any...
You're not a meteorologist.
I'm not a meteorologist.
Let me ask you this question, Doc. For little kids that's in grade school, I mean, that's in elementary school.
Yeah.
Like, how do we vaccinate our children?
Yeah.
How do we make it to where our children are safe to go out and do something as simple as go to school?
Yeah. So, number one, we have to vaccinate them. It's going to get to a point where it's going to get approved. We're going to get some sort of manufacturer that's going to come out with a vaccine that's going to help with that, right? thankfully, the studies have shown that COVID does not affect the younger population, the elementary students, the intermediate students, as much as it does the adults, right?
And I don't see how that's even possible.
Well, let's look at the data, right? So the data shows that we've got about 85% of the folks that are dying right now from COVID are anywhere from the age of 22 to 24, all the way up to 75, right? So we've got this mixture of this big age group, but that's the big population, right? Yes, we're going to have some older, some younger, but the and some of those youngers were already immunocompromised. They had other stuff going on.
Crazy.
Right? But the majority is in that population. Wow. And thankfully, that's what the vaccine that we have right now is targeting.
In this variant right now, is it way more easier to catch the COVID?
Yep, 5 times more.
Like how do you catch the COVID is my question.
So
it's and don't tell me like you just got to be in a room with a whole lot of people.
Nah, it's
like what is it?
Respiratory droplets, right? I'm talking to you.
Yeah,
my respiratory droplets
don't
are coming
that,
to
doc.
You.
Don't,
all right, I'm gonna keep
hit
my mouth shut.
That shit, bro.
Hey, it's Willie. I'm vaccinated, all right?
Yeah, I'm doubled
I'm
up.
Go, you doubled
yeah,
up?
I'm doubled
yeah, I'm
up.
About to go
but
give
you
me
know
another
those
one.
Vaccinated people still die, but go ahead.
Hey, listen.
Go
it's,
off.
Right, but listen, those
but go ahead.
99 go off. 99.99% of those folks that were vaccinated did not end up dying, okay, because of COVID. 99.999% did not end up in the hospital and die because of COVID.
Okay, so Brad has been vaccinated. Brad has been vaccinated.
Yeah.
I haven't. He just coughed. I haven't.
Right.
I got fucking asthma, Willie.
Oh, that's what that was?
What is this? Yeah.
Okay, let me see.
It's to open up his lungs. It's a bronchodilator. Hey. I'll tell you what that is. It opens up your lungs, right? So folks that have asthma.
Too. What happened to the little light?
Those lungs don't open up.
Hey, 10 look, case.
One of the big words you be using. What the fuck is I can't pronounce? Yeah, doc.
Yeah.
So.
And this shit works.
It really does.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It opens up your lungs. But it's the ignorant people that keep saying that they keep blaming other things on COVID, right? I mean, you know, somebody died for some other reason.
Two monkeys fucked, and that's why we got COVID.
Right.
Really.
It's possible. listen, Doc.
Yes, sir.
So, let me ask you this. Do you believe that Black folks' trepidation about this dealing with the medical world, you know, do you think it's warranted that they have this trepidation about dealing with the medical world and dealing and trusting science, trusting doctors? Considering our unique experience in this country where we have used many, many times as guinea pigs, where we have been totally lied to.
I know what you're talking about.
The Tuskegee experiment is what you...
It's not just the Tuskegee experiment.
Which
There's
one?
Been so
what
many.
Else? Another one.
That throughout history, I mean, even if you look at just the idea of Black people just... being born in this country,
being able to tolerate all that pain, Black women.
I'm talking about being able to just be alive, be birthed into this nation, where Black women are more likely to three or four times more likely to die giving birth than white women. You know that's directly connected to the treatment that they get, the services that they receive. That ain't got nothing to do with no... You can't tell me that's hereditary, Doc.
Not necessarily, Willie. So here's what happens. Some folks, some ethnicities are higher risk for having specific medical comorbidities, right? Comorbidities, yeah. Meaning that they have medical problems that are a combination, right? So high blood pressure, hypertension, and diabetes, we know that runs higher in the minorities.
Why is that?
That's just how they're made.
We ain't talking about minorities. We're talking about Black people specifically.
Right. So, and we know black people have higher risk of hypertension, which is high blood pressure, right? High blood pressure can lead you to high to stroke. That's why black people have higher risk of a stroke, right? It's all connected.
It ain't no reason. Well,
since we're talking about research, research has shown that black mothers who are expectant mothers have been given less treatment by doctors and nurses. That's what the research is saying. Yep. That the research is saying it's directly related to the lack of services that they receive.
So Willie, I'm gonna speak to my personal experience and what I've seen in the hospitals. We are in the medical capital of the world. All right. The medical center, number one medical center in the world, all right? Let's get the facts right. And I work out of in this area in Houston, and I'll tell you that I don't see that, right? And that may be the case in some of the rural cities, some of the rural places, some of the developing places, and that may be the case in other parts, but I'm going to tell you as a whole, I'm going to tell you that I haven't seen it, nor have I. I deal with doctors on a daily basis. I've never heard them say, I'm going to treat this person differently because of the color that they are.
Oh, you're not going to ever hear them say that, Doc.
Yeah, I'm going to treat
this. Well, I haven't seen it either.
Have you ever seen it at a restaurant?
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's.
You seen it at a restaurant?
Yeah.
You seen it in real estate?
I haven't personally seen it in real estate, but I can say in restaurants.
Have you seen it in the banking industry?
But then again, we're talking about this, and not that. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, right? I'm sure that exists, but I'm speaking as a whole, right? I'm speaking as the general population. That's, you know, it's like me saying, and we can say the same about some other minorities, right? I mean, you know, the Asian community, right?
That's not minority.
Asians are minorities. Yeah. Okay.
No. I mean, they're
talking about
they're minority, but
yeah, we talking about
a lot of Asians, man.
There is, but my point is that this sort of stuff does happen in other places. I agree with you, and I'm not disagreeing. I mean, I'm sure that this stuff happens, and the research supports some of this stuff. But in a big city like this, it's not as relevant. It's not as common as some of the rural cities.
Alabama, Mississippi.
Maybe. Yeah.
See, here's what I don't believe, Doc. I mean, you know, yeah, I ain't got no medical degree. I ain't went to school 14 years like you. You know, but, I got this thing called common sense, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, I just don't believe that the United States government is interested in saving black lives when they do nothing to punish people who take black lives. I mean, they do little or nothing, especially when it comes to members of law enforcement. So I just can't see them like really caring about us all of a sudden. You know, that it just gives me pause.
I mean, you're taking one thing and you're bringing it into the other, right?
I'm taking centuries of abuse. Centuries of neglect, centuries of torture.
It's kind of like the crack epidemic, Willie. You know, nobody gave a shit when it was in the black community alone. But when the white people started getting a hold to it and other ethnicities or the groups got a hold to it, then, you know, they started taking notice to it.
Okay? Yeah, they started taking notice, but they still disproportionately punished black people because of it. Right.
Okay. That's true. I agree with that. But the COVID, you can't punish nobody for the COVID. So
I don't know. I'm standing here,
and I'm next to this old white woman. She's 72 years old. She's 75. She's 80 years old. She can barely walk. Her face and shit is all sunk in and shit. And I go sit by and and now she got the COVID. Mm-hmm. That's when they start giving a fuck. I know where you at, Willie. I'm in the same spot, bro.
You know, like, I wasn't going to say anything because it wasn't necessary up until this point. But if you're going to be coughing and shit, you need to put on a mask, man, while we doing this interview, man. Anybody got a mask out there?
Willie, if I start coughing, man, you better call the people. You better call the doctor.
I
I heard you like to play basketball in your spare time.
I do. I love this basketball.
And look, I've been friends with you for like 5 years or something, yeah. Man. I never knew you played basketball.
I'm the best.
I guess you would never call me anyway because I don't play.
Right, you know? Yeah. But I mean, you're all the way on the other side of the world. I mean, yeah. You know.
You play golf?
Yeah, I ain't in golf yet, man.
For real?
I mean, my colleagues all the time, we're going to go golf. They got set times and dates every week that they're there. Oh, we got masks. Okay. Mask and gloves.
All
right.
Give me all this shit.
Yeah. Take it home.
I don't want to be next to Willie no goddamn way. I don't even know why I'm here.
But go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, no, basketball's great. You know, I mean, hopefully this year the Rockets will, you know, show something. I mean, I ain't going to aim for the sky, but, you know, I'm hoping for something.
Show shit.
I'm hoping for something. What do you think, Willie?
I can't even imagine the Rockets.
I don't know, man. I just, something needs to happen. Something drastically needs to happen. It's hard to believe that, you know, for me, that Tillman is such a winner. And...
What
Rockets.
Has he won in, man? You talking about the fucking Landry?
I'm talking about business. Yeah,
Landry's.
He's a winner. He's a
yeah,
he's a
but he had
business.
A lot of people behind him. It's not but, just him.
But what,
I mean,
what my point is that like you know like when you're really like focused on winning, and I just feel like you win everything. Like I could not imagine being an owner and not doing everything it takes to win. Just like playing. On the court, you know, pickup games and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like growing up, you know, I want the advantage, man. I'm picking the best players on the team, so you can tell me I got the advantage all you want to, but I'm trying to win every game.
Yeah.
I want to win every single game. I'm picking the best players on the team.
So, Willie, here's the difference.
Wait. Who's responsible for releasing James Harden?
Tillman.
Who?
Tillman? Dumb. Okay, well, go ahead.
Yeah. So listen, I mean, just because you can be an expert and a great businessman doesn't make you a great person to run a sports team.
Well,
right?
That's true. That's true.
You
because
know, I mean,
a lot of teams in Houston have lost for a long time.
Yes.
You know, and they were owned by billionaires.
Billionaires, right?
Yeah,
so just because you did great in some sort of business, you excelled beyond anybody's expectations, that doesn't mean you're going to excel in those sports. Of
dig
whatever
it.
You own, right? Yes, you got a team. Yes, you got other people in that team that are helping you. But still, it ultimately comes down to you, right? You're making those big decisions, right? You know, getting rid of people, recruiting people. And so I think he's got a long road ahead of him, you know? And if he's smart, he's going to hire good people to be his right-hand man, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he really needs. He needs a good support system. He needs somebody that can direct him to say, hey, this is what you need to do to get that team even higher. He's taken that team, the Rockets, and even go to Dallas, right? The Cowboys, right? Jerry has taken this team from, you know, a few million dollars to billions of dollars. Why? They're great businessmen, right? That doesn't mean that they can win championships. They've got so much advertising. They've got so much, you know, money that they're making from different places.
It don't matter if they win a championship or not.
Exactly.
I understand that.
That's how Jerry's coming at it.
Yeah.
Jerry, you know, the American game, right? The American team,
American
the Cowboys.
Team, yeah.
I call them the Cowgirls, but that's besides the point.
You win.
Yeah. And, you know, how many years has it been? We got no championships out of them. None.
Oh, you
right?
got championships out of the Cowboys?
No, recently. I'm talking on 10 years where we had our boy, what's his name? Our boy for 10 years.
Tony Romo?
Romo. Mr. Romo has not produced anything for 10
Funny.
Years.
Yeah. I like Tony Romo.
Tony was regular, man. You know, he's a regular dude. You know, regular season.
And
know
he didn't get paid average. Regular money.
Yeah,
he didn't get paid no regular money,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, regular
dude.
Yeah, I picture
Jerry Jones naked.
Regular
yeah.
season. When the playoffs come around, you can't do too much.
Who knows?
What made you want to be a doctor?
What made me want to be a doctor? I've always wanted to be a doctor.
I mean, I know you're Indian descent. Indian
Pakistani.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, you know, that's
yeah.
it's in the, basically
so
in the
I'm
same vein
you.
When it comes to,
sure,
like,
sure.
what your parents
South
expect
Asian.
You to do.
Yeah.
Is
so
there
that,
any more doctors in your family?
No. I'm the only one, believe it or not.
Is that right?
Yep, only one. My parents didn't even go to high school. Yeah, they went to middle. They moved here when my dad was 15, and you know, lived that American dream. Come over here. He had three jobs at a time. You know, slept 4-6 hours.
Damn.
And just hustled, and made it himself. Right. And so he told me, Danish, you know, what's the ultimate form of giving back? And in our eyes, it's medical, you know, doing stuff to, you know, help the community, give back in any way you can. That's why every year you'll see me go and set up these medical camps, right?
You go to Pakistan to do this?
I do, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there is so many, there's such a limited doctors there, number one, and then pain doctors, there's just no, I mean, and it really helps me so much that, you know, it brings me back as a new person.
Wow.
Because I come over here and, you know, I can give back, I can do whatever I got to do and work those long shifts, but it's with that realization of that big goal that we have in mind, so.
Man, do you know when we think of Pakistan, like here in the United States, we think of, oh, shit, you know, you in there working, trying to help people, and then somebody's got a vest strapped on and just fucking detonates in the hospital, bro.
That's what the media makes you believe, right? Yeah, I mean, that's all over the world, right? I mean, we've seen that in so many different places, but that's what the media, and why this stuff sells in media, right? Media likes to scare people, right? That's the truth, right? They like to scare us, and that's how, and that's why we're in the position that we're at right now, is because, you know, but I'll tell you, real life, I've got videos, pictures, I'll show you, people are out on the streets, restaurants are packed, you know, people are living normal lives in these overseas countries, and they don't want us to hear that, right?
You know, that's the same thing that they, excuse me, that's the same thing, that's the same picture that they paint of Africa. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a desolate country, and everybody's
not
starving.
And, right, and it's not, though.
And it's the richest country in the world. It's crazy.
So, and that just comes to the point where media does things where we watch it, we get scared, and we want to watch more of it, right? Mm. And that's why we're in this predicament we are.
Ted Turner.
And you went to school for 14 years. That's some dedication. Did you go 14 straight years to get your degree?
Yeah, man, straight up. Yeah, I mean, there's people that take little breaks here and there, you know, but from...
About 12 and 2, right?
Damn, that's a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
12 in college, 12 in high school, and then 2 years in...
No, so high school, obviously, you got... So you've got your undergrad, which I did at University of Houston, go Cougs. I was fortunate to be a part of the Honors College there, where they really help you to, you know, get in that kind of a mindset of where you're ultimately trying to go to. I mean, I had so many folks that were like, Danish, you will not make it. You know, your grades, your, you know, extracurricular activities aren't there to, you know, get you to that point where you can be a doctor. But that determination, that, you know, dedication to not saying no kept me going. And, you know, so I finally got into medical school. From there, there's the internship. So 4 years of medical school, a year of internship. Then there's 4 years of residency, depending on what you decide to do, what you specialize in. And then there's a year or two of fellowship on top of that you can do as well.
Did you know it was going to be 12 years when you started?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you get online and you can see the direction of how things are. But I'll tell you that... You know, some of those years were probably the roughest years of my life. I mean, you know, for some folks, medical school comes easy. But, you know, in a lot of times that, you know, I'll say about 90% of the time, you know, folks have there's so much information that gets thrown at you in 4 years that you have to put together, you have to analyze, and you get tested on, you know, every week. And it's just... And you have to move on to the next subject, and you just keep on grinding and keep on going. Yeah. It's nonstop.
You specialize in pain. You're a pain doctor. Well, you specialize
in my arm right here.
Remedy.
I can treat that. I can get that better for you.
You got some dope?
I got an injection for you.
Yeah. Yes. Give me I'm going to see you Monday.
All right. Come
Where
on
you
through.
At? Where you sit
at? I'm in Cyprus. It's Arch Point Pain Institute.
Yeah, I'm coming over there.
Yep.
What's the most severe case of pain you've ever experienced?
I'll tell you, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, I have seen arthritis. I've seen these old, you know, brittle ladies coming in to me. I mean, I'll do an x-ray on them. Those bones are all crushed together.
Oh,
right?
Goddamn.
I mean, the bones are all together. It
and
just
gotta
makes
be
you
in pain, huh?
They gotta be in pain, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and those are the folks that I feel the worst for, because I'm like, man, they've been walking around, you know, slump forward. You see those older ladies, you know, on the shopping carts. Yep, there you go. Yeah, slouch forward. And man, and when you do X-ray on those folks, you see their bones. It's just, it's so nasty.
Bone on bone.
Bone on bone, man. Oh,
what can you do about it?
I mean, so there's a bunch of stuff you can do high. For them. Well, I mean, there's pain medications you can do to help, but there's a lot of other stuff, right? So a lot of those bones, when they deteriorate, they irritate the nerves. And so you can give them nerve pain medications as well. We call them neuropathic agents, like gabapentin, Lyrica, that sort of stuff. You know, yes, there's opioids and narcotics you can
That's
use for
what
them.
I need.
But you can also do anti-inflammatory medications. There's no cure. But there's no cure to arthritis. That's it. If you and I or anybody comes up with a cure, right, to prevent arthritis, we'll be billionaires, right? Because that's the number one problem we face. That's why pain doctors and pain is so common, is because you've got these folks that get arthritis over time and it affects them.
But isn't the money in the medicine, why would they come up with the cure if they make so much money off the medicine?
I mean, that is a true fact that pharmaceutical companies are the number one things that are out there, businesses out there that make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's true. And that's just the unfortunate truth of where we're at in society. They get funds. They fund some of the politics, and we know that. And you know, and it's sad, but it's also true. So,
arthritis, doc. Like, what about arthritis makes your bones like my aunt? She passed away at like 68 years old, mm-hmm. but she didn't walk from the age of 28.
Mm-hmm.
And her arms and everything and legs and everything, just she couldn't move nothing.
Yeah. Mm. So she could have had two things. Number one,
rheumatoid.
Yeah. So that is a form of arthritis that affects both sides, and it's a very debilitating disease that progresses a lot more than arthritis in general. So when I say arthritis that everybody gets as we age, that's osteoarthritis, okay? There's an inflammatory arthritis called rheumatoid arthritis that affects folks at a much rapid pace than osteoarthritis, the general wear and tear, as we age, we all get this. But there are other arthritises that are out there that will cause you to get in that crippled condition.
Well, you cannot move at all.
Yeah, yeah.
She couldn't move, she couldn't walk, she couldn't nothing. She could blink and talk.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's cold blooded, right?
That's cold blooded, man. From the time from 28, to 68 years old.
Yeah,
damn.
Yeah.
So she was in a wheelchair all this time.
Mm. She was in the bed all this time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep. We had lifts that would sit her in the
Hoyer lift.
In the lift.
Yep.
And then tie her up in the lift and then sit her down in the chair and push her.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where she just stopped doing all of that shit.
So she didn't have children or anything like that?
All she had was us. I think her brother was my grandfather, so his 9 children was hers.
Mm.
I was the grandson, so I was hers too. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say this. I applaud folks that take care of the elderly population. I got to say that, period. Yeah. You know, I think that in the American society, we tend to forget about our elders and, you know, generally speaking. And I'll tell you, those folks that have taken care of their elderly family, friends, they've built themselves.
Sister-in-law.
There you
go.
That
was my grandfather's sister.
So I applaud those folks.
And my grandmother took care of her from the time, you know, she took ill when they got married or whatever, all the way until the time she passed, bro. My grandfather died first.
Wow.
And she still took care of that man's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Can't tell me shit about my grandmother.
Yeah.
Doc, what is the age that parents get rid of their kids in Pakistan? Like, what age do you have to get out of the house? Or they stop...
Never. No. So the reason is why. I'll tell you why, William. I'm sorry to stop you there. But the reason is why, because those kids grow up in those households and they'll take care of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, right? And so they'll grow up in that household. They'll become successful. They'll do whatever they got to. And then they'll turn around and take care of their aging parents.
Now, dude,
you hear that, Chris?
Now, is there...
You never have to leave.
So let me ask
Always welcome, Chris.
So Donish, is the overall sentiment for young people who take care of their parents is that they're not taking on some type of burden?
That is not the way they look at it. No,
they don't look at
no,
it at all.
No, it's not.
An honor.
It's an honor. That's
wow.
the word. That's the word. Yeah, it's an honor for them to have that privilege because they realize that if they do this, they show their kids what they're doing. In reverse, their kids will do the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what an honor it is to have somebody take care of you when you are aged.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why it's looked at as honor is because your own kids are watching you take care of your grandparents.
Yeah. Heavy.
And that's heavy.
See, I never got that about people in America. You know, you turn 18 or you ain't going to school, get out. You got to get out and go get it. And the thing is that sometimes kids are not ready. They're not ready. I mean, everybody mature at different rates.
Yep.
And if you put your kid out there and you say, you cut off, I ain't doing nothing else for you, you grown, get your own, your kid can end up in a bad space.
And a lot of times that happens, right? We see that because, you know, up until 18, their parents have been taking care of them, and mm-hmm. then they set them loose. They don't know what to do, right? That's why this gradual kind of getting them ready, giving them responsibility as they're coming to that age.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be 18, right? It can be whatever age is decided, whatever the family decides is that they think that this kid is appropriate. All kids are raised the same. Not all kids have the same maturity. Not all kids have the same level of, you know, smartness in them. So some need less, some need more, right?
Yeah.
I was out of the house at 16. I graduated from high school at 16. So naturally, I was out of the house to, you know, go do my undergrad and go do what I had to do. But that didn't take me away from my core roots and from coming back home regularly.
Yeah. I've always said that I told my kids, like, you always have a home with me. You can ever, forever. Because I look at it like, as long as anybody in my house is doing something productive with themselves, we good.
Right.
You know, like, but you're not going to come into my house and just be reckless or, you know, sitting around doing nothing at all. I mean, you know, you can be productive by, you know, running a charity or something, even if you're not making money. I'm talking about being productive. You dig what I'm saying? Like,
that's the key, what you just said, really.
Being productive.
Being productive. And that's already understood in these developing countries is that this kid is not going to just sit at home until he's 18 and then figure it out. He's already establishing things, establishing ways for him to be productive in society. And so that way, when he gets to that point, when he's aged, when he's growing, he can turn the cards back around and help his family.
Right. Yeah, man, my daughter is a practicing lawyer, and I still give her an allowance.
Yeah.
She still gets an allowance. She makes good money.
Right.
She's in the six figures, way up there. But I still give her an allowance. But that's just me. You know, that's just something that I do. But I think it's important to gradually, like you said, let these kids move at that pace. Like, gradually. Don't just
stop them at 18.
18, boom.
That's
out.
It, yeah.
You're done with school, out. You're
that's
done.
It.
Yeah. You got a job. You take care of all your own bills and stuff on your own. That's it. Now, I understand that, you know, if everybody ain't got it, everybody ain't set up the way everybody's bank account is set up, you know, they don't, you know, kids have to kick in a little bit more, right? I understand that. But I just don't subscribe to this idea of just turning your kids loose and just totally saying that you're on your own just because they achieved a certain milestone in age. I don't believe in that.
I think you got to give them some gradual responsibilities. You've got to trust in them, right? You've got to let them earn your trust, and then you slowly kind of increase their. And those are the kids. Those are the folks that should get those jobs. Get to a point where they're beginning to sustain themselves, and then over time, as they show responsibility, as they show growth, you can kind of start tinkering down.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, Doc, and I'm sure that
Willie want to know the same thing. Like, why is it that we don't like to go to the doctor?
Yeah.
To see what's wrong with us. Why is that? Why? And I can say for sure in black people, but is it in everybody else too?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of other people are like that too. But again, that's going back to what I said about us being guinea pigs. I'm just saying, man, you know, the history is there.
Fucking eyeball's about to fall out, bro.
Yeah.
But go to the doctor.
But I'm saying, Brad.
I'll have to go back in the morning. Brad. Put some eyes on it.
But this is what I'm saying. You know, we are, okay, you familiar with Pavlov? Okay, so.
Here comes Google. Okay, Dr. Google.
Okay, so.
Is it Pavlov? Spell it.
Okay, so Pavlov, listen.
Well, spell it, Willie.
He subscribed to the concept that, you know, people are who they are by a process of conditioning. He's mm-hmm. the one that did the lab rat mm-hmm. thing,
yep,
you know,
yep,
right?
Yep, Pavlov.
So people are who they are by a process of conditioning. And if you're conditioned to be a certain way for an extended amount of time, it's just going to be a little hard to break that. If you grew up in a household where education is stressed, then quite naturally you're going to go on to do good things, academically.
Correct.
If you grew up in a household where nobody bats an eye if you don't bring home good grades, nobody's going to bat an eye if you drop out in the 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, you know, if you don't, you know, further your education, right?
For sure.
We are who we are by a process of conditioning, good or bad. Mm-hmm. We are who we are by a process of conditioning. Of course, there are exceptions because I'm sure somebody's watching this right. Well, it didn't happen to me, you know.
Yeah.
I ain't have nothing and then I made it out of nothing, you know.
Right.
But I'm just saying that we are who we are by a process of conditioning.
I agree.
And this is why a lot of black people in this country have been conditioned, you know, over the years to not trust the government in this country because the government haven't given black people in this country anything to trust them for. The government in this country has used and abused and shitted on black people since the beginning, since they brought us over here to do their agriculture in the South and their textile in the North.
Yeah.
Free.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, I see where you're coming from, you know, but I got to tell you that, Willie, I mean, let's be realistic. A lot of black people are successful, right? A lot of black people
are...
Right, not enough, right? I can say that about our minorities, South Asians, you know, but... A lot of people are successful. You know, I hear what you're saying about the history. You know, things have changed with the technology and with things that we've had now. I'm not saying that this doesn't still happen in a small rural proportion.
Let me break something down to you, Doc.
Yeah.
America has a debt to pay. Okay. Imagine if you was just a doctor and you worked, how many years you been a doctor?
I've been 4 years.
Imagine if the motherfucker just grabbed you and made you come do that shit for free for 4 years. And for 396 years after that plus, mm-hmm. just did that shit for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That wouldn't be cool, would it?
Not at all.
So America has a debt to pay.
Yeah.
America has worked the black man for free
mm-hmm.
for all of these years
yeah.
and has never ever put a bail on the cat.
Mm-hmm.
They never broke the bread.
But
They benefited from it, but they never broke bread. They agreed to the 40 acres and the mule, and they never broke the bread.
Yeah.
So understand that it's no way, Doc, that we can let those bygones be bygones.
I get it.
Fuck that.
And see, here's another thing.
It's a crime against humanity.
It's like we hear this a lot of times. People say, well, you know,
there's a lot of
black people that are successful. Man, you got Oprah mm-hmm. Winfrey. You got Michael Jordan. You got this. Understand this. Yes, we have had millions of success stories, not just those people
yeah.
who are way up there
sure.
that have achieved things that nobody's going to pretty much do.
Right.
You know, not just black people, but ain't nobody going to be a Beyonce. Nobody's
right, right.
finna do what Jay-Z did and nobody's finna do what Oprah did and
sure.
all this type of stuff, right? So we get that. But these are extraordinary exceptions to the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are many other exceptions to the rule in the millions, we got so many successful black people, you know, from doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, I mean, you name it, just even just those black people who have worked a 9-to-5 for 40 years and they put their kids through college and their kids went out and didn't, ain't nobody ended up in jail. Nobody got slaughtered in the streets like a dog. Those are success stories also.
But it shouldn't have to be that hard. It shouldn't have been that hard to begin with.
But the point that I'm trying to make is that when we do make it, we got to go above and beyond the duty, the call of duty to make it.
Yeah.
Like we ain't like everybody else. In this country, we kick ass. We got the rocket. We got the rocket all the way out to win. We don't just get to just say, oh, I want to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to go to college. I'm going to listen to my parents. I'm going to be respectful to authority. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I'm going to treat people like I want to be treated. And then life is just going to turn out great. Bullshit. That ain't how it works in America with black people. This is what I'm trying to say.
How can we change that? How can we make that happen? How can we get that?
We got to kill all the races.
You got to make sure that everybody that is saying that they agree with you actually
agrees with you.
No, we got to kill all the races.
Well, that's why we need, listen, that's why we need more minorities in power, right?
We need more black people in power.
Right. Yeah,
because look at it like this, guys. Everybody walks on the back of black people. Whether they be Afghan, Pakistani, Asian, Mexican, they're going to walk on the backs of the blacks and tell them, you know, they're going to follow us around in their stores. They're going to look at us automatically like we're thieves, you know, and committing a crime. And that's not us. That's not us. I mean, you got some black people that do it, that commit crimes. You got some white people. You got some Pakistani people that commit crimes. Everybody commit crimes. But don't look at us, you know.
Like we got the shit cornered.
Yeah, for real.
For sure.
Like, yeah, for real, Willie.
That's why I think that the whole black people matters. Black Lives Matter is so important, right? I mean, it's not just about the black people, right? It's about the whole world itself and the injustice that we're experiencing in this country, right?
It's not even just this country either, brother.
It's Africa. All over.
It's all over.
I agree.
Every person of color, of this color, that color, you know, whether you live in Africa, London, or wherever the fuck you live, you're going to always be scrutinized because of the color of your skin.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to always be that.
And in my opinion, and as we've talked about it, the way to fix that is to get more people in power. And if we can do that, if we can create a voice for the community and for people to express themselves, for them to understand, that's why I think that this platform is so great. And I applaud you guys for what you are doing, the people that you guys are reaching out to and becoming a voice for. I applaud you guys for that. And
I appreciate that.
And of course, fam, you know, fam, I was being facetious about killing all the races. You can't kill all the races. That's impossible.
It's impossible.
It's a new one born every day. But to your point, hey man, that is a tall task because they're blocking. The only way to remedy these type of things is through education. People got to be educated.
Right.
It's either education or it's war. Right.
Yeah.
And even if we went to war right now today. When the dust clear, you'll still have racist people, right?
That's not
going to be the answer.
Right.
That's not going to be the answer, right? So at the end of the day, people have to be educated. And when you are educated, you know, you make better decisions, right?
Correct.
And so, but how are you going to be educated about the history and what's going on when they won't even allow it to be taught in the schools?
Yeah.
They're afraid of the children knowing the truth.
Yeah. And that's where we need to, again, as I said, you know, get folks, especially our minority community, our Black people community, get them all together, get them these power of authority, these roles in society where they're teachers, they're doctors, they're lawyers, they're influencers of our society, right?
Well, we have that. We have
and
teachers,
we need
doctors,
more.
And
we need more.
Yeah,
that's
we
the
do.
Problem.
Wait, you know what?
We need more of those people.
We need more entrepreneurs.
I bet you didn't notice, Doc.
Sir.
I bet you didn't notice. I could be a fucking rocket scientist.
Yeah.
And I could go to NASA and ask for a job. And I can show them all of my credentials.
Yeah.
A white guy walk in and he's a fucking newspaper thrower.
Sure.
And they'll say, well, you're overqualified. And yeah. They'll hire another guy.
Or you might have a criminal record, and you have a clean criminal record. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You don't have a record at all, and he still might get the job. This is what we're up against. But again, that's why I say, like, when we make it, you know, I'm always saluting the ones that make it because I know what you have to go through. If I see a Black doctor, I already know, like, you know, I'm not taking anything from you, Donish, but I'm telling you, if I see a Black doctor in America, I know for a fact that he went through some shit that regular other doctors, people from other ethnicities, didn't have to go through.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Whoa. If I see a Black accountant, whoa, I know he's going through shit that other accountants, they ain't got to go through.
Yeah.
Because of this image that has been projected against us that was manufactured by this government and that to this day, continues to be disseminated across the world.
Disseminated,
yeah.
Man, Willie's got a vocab. Man.
You need to write this stuff down.
Man, he's got a dictionary next to his bed at the crib.
At the night, yeah. Reading through I'm going to use these words at night.
I think that if they don't want to teach Black history in their schools, then they shouldn't teach white history either. And let's make it fair. Like, fuck Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And Thomas Jefferson.
But listen, Elvis
was a hero to
and
most.
And fuck Elvis, yeah, too.
But he never meant nothing to me. Straight out of racist, the sucker was simple and plain. Motherfuck him and John Wayne.
So listen, this is where this public, This is an opportunity for all the parents to come out and educate. If we can't do it in the schools, if we're not doing it in the schools, we need to make sure that we are continuing this education at home, right?
We do.
So this is a message that all our parents, that's what we need to be doing, right?
That's right.
If they're not teaching this, if they're not teaching about all the bad shit that happened, right, we need to do a better job of educating our kids, our next generation, because if we don't do it, that shit ain't getting carried over.
That's right.
And they're going to forget about this. They're going to forget about what a hard time, you know, we had growing up to get to where we are now.
That's
right. So that's my message to everybody is to say,
dope,
yeah, I mean, listen, man, we need to take these people, take these kids, sit them down and say, hey, listen, you need to listen. This is what I had to do to get to where I'm at. This Mercedes outside just ain't sitting out there because it came to me, right? I had to work my ass off. I had to do this, this, and this, and this is what history, and this is what we had to do to get to where we're at.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. And Doc, that is a great note to end on.
Doc, you're a bad dude, man. We talked about shots and why motherfuckers don't go to the doctor to what we need to do. To retain our history.
You know, it's not a regular doctor. Look at what he got on, man. Boy, yeah, on got Gucci shirt. Boy, got that Gucci shirt.
Gucci, man.
That Gucci.
I mean,
goddamn, Doc, ain't that shirt like $1,600?
We've worked hard to get to where
I priced the motherfuckers, man. Hey,
if you like the shirt, you should see his home. That boy got a bad crib.
We worked hard to get to where we are, and we can spoil ourselves, right?
Hey, man.
I mean, you know,
at the bottom, now we here.
That's it. That's exactly right. And, you know, and we've worked hard to get to where we're at, and that's where we need to teach our next generation to do as well, right? Work hard. Nothing's given to you, and do it, and hustle hard every single day, and you're going to come out on top.
How can people find you?
I'm all over the place. You can find me on Instagram, Houston Pain Doc, or Houston Pain Doctor. Both are my hashtags there. Archpoint Pain Institute. I've got a website, Archpoint Pain, ARCHPOINT, Pain, PAIN.com.
Man, when is the TikTok coming? When are you going to start your TikTok channel?
My staff is telling me we got to do it.
You got to do TikTok,
we gotta
man.
We got to do some, you
see,
know.
Y'all don't know, y'all don't know this dude like I know him. Like, this dude got jokes and this dude got information. You put that together, man. You, boy, you a kill on TikTok,
I need
man.
You, man. I got I'm going to come see you Monday.
My yeah. pleasure. It would be a pleasure.
Yeah, you would definitely kill on TikTok.
I'm happy to do it. And listen, my biggest thing is I want to get out the word of, you know, if somebody's watching, if somebody's listening, like, this is the stuff that I do, right? I'm a medical correspondent on Fox. Why do I do this? There are people sitting at home having symptoms, having things that they may not go see their doctor. It goes back to that stigma thing that you were talking about just earlier, Brad, right? And that's what I'm trying to lessen, that stigma. We are humans. We're here to help. We've gone through a shitload of education to get to where we are, to help everybody that's in need. And so that's why I do these sorts of things, to educate folks that are maybe watching us wherever they are or listening to us. I want to get out to them and say, if you need anything medically, if you're having any symptoms, you know, this is what we need to do.
Before you go, Doc, Brad cut you off earlier when you were talking about the truck. My truck, you was asking me how my truck was treating me. I mean, dude, what did you say?
I said, how is that Range Rover, right? You've got a beautiful SUV, a Range Rover. And you know, those are notorious for breaking down. So I asked him, how is that Range Rover treating you? And this is his response. Go ahead, Willie D.
No, you can tell him what I said.
His response was, how am I treating that car, is what he said. How am I treating that car?
Yeah, I'm like, shit, how am I treating the Range Rover? I'm the one spending $4,000 for fucking maintenance and oil changes and cleaning that bad boy. I mean, you know. Yeah. So yeah, Doc, I appreciate you, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for stopping through, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Danish Ali.
Thank you, Doc. I appreciate everything, bro.
Thank you for having me. Indeed. It was an absolute pleasure.
I'm finna get me some of these masks because I ain't got a mask in my motherfucking truck.
Take it home. Take the whole bag. It's all yours.
Make sure you have that mask on next time we meet.
Willie, man, if I ever see you again in life,
it won't be so.
It'll be too goddamn soon.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.